We continue our series on the book of Hebrews. And as we've kind of gone through, this book of Hebrews is the case for Christ. It is the going through and looking evidentially. It's very different than a lot of the Bible study books or the books of the Bible. Hebrews is written to
Hebrew people
and applies to
us.
There's so much. So if you want to turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 4, we will be getting going. And I still don't see enough people grabbing their Bibles. It's just a side note. But as we get this started in Hebrews chapter 4, as it has been week after week, it starts with therefore. So you got to go back chapter 3. And what leads us in here? And he's talking about this Hebrew people who have totally missed it. And so verse 9, so we see that they were unable to enter, right? Unable to enter what? Unable to enter, verse 8, the rest. Unable to enter the rest of God. And this is a big deal. And so, right, this is because of their unbelief. This is what he's writing to. He's writing to Hebrew people who messed it up, constantly got off track, did not find the very rest of God as they walked through this life because of their fears, because of their worries, because of the things that have grabbed hold of them walking through this life. And so as we kind of start this chapter 4, that word rest is all over chapter 4. All right, 9 times it's referenced directly in chapter 4. Another 5 times it's just referenced in not using that word rest. But this is a big deal. And what is he trying to say to us about the rest? Therefore, while the promise of this rest still stands, there's still a promise of the rest of God in our hearts, in our lives. That promise of God stands for us. And then he says it, let us fear. Let us fear, lest we fail to receive it. Let us fear. Now, fear is a fascinating topic when you talk to Christians. Are you Christians supposed to be afraid? See, that's what I thought I'd hear. That's sort of the standard thing. Oh, we're Christians. God's on our side. There's no fear. And yet it's fascinating. When you study the book of the Bible, fear is a part of it. One of the most famous verses, right? And this is both in the book of Psalm and Proverbs. It's Psalm 111 and it's Proverbs 9, same exact quote. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Because fear is part of life. As we read in the book of Luke for our reading. And it's interesting. You know, I'm a guy who, I'm not an afraid guy. But I'll tell you what, while I was being raised, I had a great mom and dad. A great mom and dad that never beat me. A great mom and dad that did so much for me, you know. And a great mom and dad who I was deeply afraid of. Okay? Because why? Because their hands were over my life. They were the ones running the show. Are we to fear God? Trust me. God is the one whose hands are above everything. And that's what Luke tries to tell us, Luke chapter 12. That either you're going to walk around with fear of this or fear of this and fear of this and fear of this, or realize there's a God who's above it all. And that's the only place you put your fear. Fear him. For your life is in his hands. So that's like a whoo statement. Now, he immediately moves it in verse 2. As this goes on, the great realization is the good news. This is what Jesus brings to us who, you know, are out of control of our lives. People who have the fears, the worries, the doubts, the things that go on in our life. And the Jesus, the God who came and died for us, I mean, he brings to us forgiveness. He brings to us his presence. It's a tremendous gift. So that, you know, there's good news. This is what Christ does for fearful people, like me with my dad. For fearful people, just know that he's on your side. Now, here's what happens. He's talking to the Hebrew people. And the Hebrew people at that time, they didn't listen. Their culture was a lot different than ours. They grew up in a culture that did not have Christ at the center, did not realize their failures, sometimes didn't even acknowledge their failures because they're Jewish people. And this time he says, these people are not seeing that the mighty God has sent his son, that is the reason for hope, the reason for joy. And as he goes on in verse 3, he says, you know, we have believed, right? And because of that, we enter his rest, right? Because of our faith in God, we can find rest in him. That's somewhat an eternal reality. You know, we'll find perfect rest that time in heaven, but there is rest in him now. But others, like the Hebrew people at that time, other people, they lose sight of it. They seek for rest in this, okay, I'm going to go exercise more and find some rest. Or I just got to heal this relationship and then I'll find rest. There's so many different things that we put our rest on when Christ himself says, look, find your rest in me. As this goes on, he quotes this psalm, Psalm 95, which is awesome because this is the last verse in the entire psalm, right? Psalm 95. Here's the closing verse. As I swore in my wrath, this is God's statement to them, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. There, that's the end of the psalm. That's a strong statement. Is this a negative song, just psalm, just ripping people down? No, it starts with the positivity. It starts with the truths that God has done for you. But his statement is don't forget it. In fact, that's what he says a few verses earlier, which he quotes down in verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Don't harden your heart, for the God, the one who is in control of it all, he is the one. He is the one who brings joy. He is the one who helps you find rest from the struggles. He is the one. So don't ever avoid him. Don't ever miss him, for he's the God above it all. He's the God who loves you so very deep. Now, as this continues on, verse 4, going to zip through because I got 16 verses. It's a lot. Verse 4, he talks about Genesis chapter 2, that God creates the world. And after 6 days of creating things, God takes a seventh day of rest. Now, did God do that because he was tired? Thank you. Kids, man, usually you guys are responding immediately. Come on. No, God did this from the creation of the world before sin even came into the world to help us recognize the need for us to rest. 7 days. 7 days. And, you know, as this moves forward, I'm jumping forward to verse 9 and 10, because what he does is he starts going through and he talks about what's failing, why there is no rest. It's because of the sins, because of the lack of belief in the God, because of the things that get off track. And we move all the way down. You know, he even gives examples from the Old Testament time, these people that believed in God but still lacked the rest. In verse 9, so then, there remains a Sabbath rest. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And this is a reference somewhat to heaven. There is a total time of rest. Sometimes I hope to get to heaven because I'm just busy and psycho and, oh, Lord, come on back anytime. I just need a break. All right? There is an eternal resting place. No question. It's what Christ has won for us. But then he continues on. For whoever, verse 10, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So this is the point. In the creation, God took a time of break. And yeah, there's an eternal rest someday, but there's a good plan for us to find rest, peace, fired up things happening in our life. And, you know, again, Old Testament, 7 days. You guys all remember, you know, the Ten Commandments, you know, these really big laws in the Old Testament. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. These Old Testament Hebrew people, they remember this because this was part of their life. They weren't even allowed to go shopping, right? They weren't even allowed to walk too many steps because the Sabbath day is to rest. Well, here's what's fascinating. I'm a guy who sometimes he's just shot and tired. And I'm a guy who sometimes is like, oh, I'm just going to take a day. I'm just going to chill. And I sit and watch TV on my, you know, couch. And, you know, I'm sure my wife would have me do things. I don't do a blasted thing. I'm resting, you know, I'm resting. And you just get done with this day, and the next day you go to work, and you're just doubly as tired. What God is talking rest from work, rest from the busyness, the psychoness of life, it is not just to break from that. It is to rest in him. It is to rest in him. And this is the point. He has so much for us to find. As we go to verse 11, he goes on and he says, you know, therefore, you know, there it is, therefore. Therefore, strive to enter that rest. We're in the New Testament. We don't have this, oh, you must not do this on the Sabbath day. You know, no, no, no. But therefore, strive to have a day of rest. This is what God modeled for us from the very beginning of time. It is important, whether it's joining a Bible study to dig in that Word of God, whether it is finding time of prayer. I'm a guy who truly, every time I did retreats with youth, I'd try to do this hour-long, no-talking reality, which I love because it's hard to be silent in this world. It's hard to break and hear and listen to the God who has so much to share. Whether it's a time of prayer, it's a time of digging in that Word of God, it's a time of breaking from life and finding the rest that God has for you. Now, verse 12, as this continues, this is probably the most famous of the chapter 4 verses, right? For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. This is quoted many times for many different reasons to make certain points about this Word of God. But in this context, it's saying it very directly. He's talking about resting, grabbing hold, spending some time in his Word to find that rest, to find that direction, to find that answer that's so clear. So clear. And that's important for us as we walk through this world, because we live in a world where there's not a lot of clear answers, a lot of different views, different opinions. This is what God says. I want you to find rest. I set a day of rest for you to pray, to let go, to talk with me, to dig in this word and find the truth that I have given for your sake. I'll tell you this, you know, I've done this this year. We kind of got a good Bible study going for the young adults. And I think sometimes it's Thursday, you know, it's late in the week and it's at 7 o'clock at night. Ugh, I have no brain left by 7 o'clock. Ugh. And sometimes we get in there and everyone's just like, oh. But then we open that Word of God. We study what it says. And it wakes us up. It gives us truth. It gives us direction. It gives us peace. For this is what God has designed for us. Now, as he goes on in verse 13, he talks about that God is in all things. He's the God who's above it all. He's the God who sees it all. Even when you're naked, he sees everything about you, right? He sees it all. Nothing is hidden from him. For he is the mighty God. And that is a reason why we listen, we follow, we have our hope in him, we find our rest in him. He's it. He's the guy. And, you know, I'll say this. I was a guy that years ago, every once in a while, I need to take a day off. I'm marking this as a Sabbath day. You remember, some of you have been here a while. I've preached this a couple times. Every time I preach, remember the Sabbath day, I feel guilty. Because I struggle with it. I struggle with it. And when you read this Word of God, it tells you it's important to take a break. It's important to lean on me. It's important to dig in this Word, to grow in this relationship with me. Because it's what brings us rest. It's what brings us peace. God doesn't do it for him. He does it for you. Now, last few verses, 14, 15, 16, as this kind of goes forward, it talks about the great high priest. This is Christ, the great high priest, the one who has done it right, the one in the next verse who's walked through this life, who understands all the ups and downs, understand the broken world in which we live, understands this is not a place of perfect rest, right? There's moments of rest, but then we're back in a broken world and we're broken people. The true rest of heaven. But Christ, who understands it all, the one who died for it all. And then it says this, verse 16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Oh. He never says you have confidence because you've gotten better. No, he says have confidence and lean on the very throne of grace, the God who is nothing but forgiving to you, the God who's given it all for you, the God who has died for you. That's where your confidence will lie. That's where you lean on in all circumstances, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help to those in need. You know, as we kind of went through this, I kind of had basic 3 points to grab hold of today. Number one, it's okay to be afraid of God. If you're not afraid of him, then you're not even seeing the truth of who God is, whose hands are over your entire life. Be afraid. Rest in him. God doesn't want you to take breaks from work so that you feel better. He wants you to rest in him. Seek him. Grow in him. have a Sabbath. That's what he longs for. And in times where there is struggle, you know, I think this is a big thing. He is the God who's with us in all things, and it's always a frustration. This is what this entire chapter hits well. There are sometimes people would come and they'd say, oh yeah, if I get in trouble, I'll talk to God. If I get in trouble, then I'll study God's word. If things get tough, then I'll lean on him. See, that's not what happens. It's not what happens. God says, take your day of rest. Dig in, grow in me, so that when the times of trouble come, you are equipped. When the times of trouble come, you know me. And as this whole thing started, it started with, you know, these people that slipped away. The God who made us, the God who offers everything to us, the God who forgives us, holds nothing against us, who loves us so very deep, who longs for us to find joy, for us to find rest, for us to find peace, for us to find things. He's the God who stands and says, lean on me, talk to me, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Do it. Do it. If it's joining a Bible study, join a Bible study. If it's reading the daily devotion, read the daily devotion. If it's starting a day with prayer, start a day with prayer. But walk in the rest of Christ. Amen.